ABC Radio Australia. Now, governments across the Pacific have been given a gentle warning over the handling of their COVID-19 response in a joint report from the UN Human Rights Office and SPC, the Pacific Community. The report puts the spotlight on 13 governments that have introduced states of emergency during the pandemic. It highlights concerns over harsh penalties for curfew infringements and restrictions on freedom of information and expression, and points to claims that major constitutional changes have been rushed through without due process. There is concern too that emergency laws could remain in force for longer than necessary. And speaking to Richard Ewart, SPC's Director of Human Rights and Social Development, Miles Young, says it's important for governments to realise that even during a period of a global emergency, their actions should be in line with international standards.
These are unprecedented times for the global community, let alone the Pacific. So there's no playbook, if you like, for our governments. But I thought they've handled the situation remarkably well. And this has not turned out to be a health crisis as many had anticipated. But that link between economic health and human rights closely interconnected. So some of the fiscal responses of governments to offset the economic impacts of COVID have and will put a great strain on already suffering economies. And this will have a knock-on effect on the capacity to continue to protect and promote human rights, particularly economic and social rights.
Is there evidence to suggest that governments have, if you like, used the pandemic as something of an excuse to perhaps introduce unpopular legislation, constitutional change in Samoa, for example, which has caused quite a degree of consternation?
That part of the report does refer to concerns raised by the Law Society in Samoa and also the National Human Rights Institution. These are concerns that they've raised, which we've included in our report. I don't know the answer to that particular question. You know, we haven't conducted a full inquiry into that around motivation and agenda, but this is certainly something that the Law Society and the National Human Rights Institution in Samoa have raised.
Are there examples where, I guess what you would call temporary laws have remained in force for perhaps longer than necessary? There's been quite a lot of debate in recent days about the curfew that continues in Fiji, even though they haven't had community transmission there for a long time now. States of emergency, I think, continuing still in Samoa and Tonga. Is this just governments being super cautious because they want to be absolutely sure that they keep COVID at bay, or are they overstepping the mark?
I think the important thing here is to understand that there are some international human rights laws and principles that govern such measures in times of national emergency. And I think it's incumbent on us to continue to monitor and assess these measures from a human rights perspective, to monitor and assess these measures against these human rights laws and principles. They're defined by law, they're reasonable, are they proportionate, limited duration, those sorts of criteria that measures need to be assessed against. And I think the point that we're trying to make in the Human Rights Situational Analysis Report is that we need to continue to monitor these and to assess these. Whether they've gone on for much longer than necessary, that's a question that needs to continue to be asked by, again, referring to these principles and human rights law.
So overall, the current state of play is that perhaps in certain circumstances there are suggestions that human rights have been violated, are being violated, or is it more a concern that they may be violated in the future if some of these laws hang around for too long?
Yes, I think the latter. First of all, I think, you know, when you look at what has happened over the past, what is it, six, nine, close to 12 months now, you know, we have seen things like the right to education impacted, schools being closed, students not being able to come back to schools. We're looking at increases in domestic violence, the impact of COVID on the right to employment, widespread loss of employment opportunities. So certainly human rights have been impacted. But in terms of the measures that have been put in place, again, I come back to, I think there's a need for continuing monitoring of these measures. Interestingly, there has been a decision in the courts of Fiji around some of the penalties for breach of curfew. The question that the court raised was whether the penalties imposed under the law for these breaches were unreasonable. So there has been some discussion at the judicial level, at least in Fiji.
The report describes the mental health consequences of the pandemic, particularly for marginalized groups, and it's described as a ticking time bomb. So how would you interpret that, first of all? And secondly, in your view, what needs to be done to, if you like, prevent that bomb from going off?
Service around mental health needs to be addressed. Countries increasingly realize that we need to look at how we address mental health issues in the Pacific, raising the capacity of countries to address that. And this is something that we're also trying to look at here at SBC. Is there a gap? And it's clearly there is a gap. To what extent can the organization help our members to address that gap? So I think when we see a ticking time bomb, I think it's a realization that we just don't have the capacity in the Pacific to address the need for mental health services.
You've identified a potential risk in the report, but economies have been hard hit. Money is clearly tight. They're having to look all around the world to try and get financial assistance to keep going. So logically, unfortunately, mental health is one of those issues that's not going to be high on the list of priorities, is it?
It's incumbent on those that have identified it as a gap to make the right persuasive arguments to the purse string holders around addressing that gap. If we're looking at allocating resources, it's around how you put forward the argument that is a gap that needs to be prioritized. Certainly, SBC has identified this as a gap, and we're looking to work with governments, we're looking to work with development partners to see how we can contribute to responding to it.
In general, would you see this report, if you like, as not a finger-pointing exercise, but clearly you've identified areas that need to be monitored, to use your word, whilst the COVID-19 pandemic continues. So perhaps this report is, if you like, a gentle warning to governments that they are being watched, that they are being monitored, and if they overstep the mark, they won't get away with it.
We see this report more as a resource that can inform decision-making, I think. The content's drawn from open source, so it's nothing that's not available out there in the public domain. It's bringing it all together. And we like to see it as a resource that can help our members to identify where the gaps are, to understand what the issues are, and then to take some informed decisions around how to address these gaps, how to address these issues.
That's Miles Young, SPC's Director of Human Rights and Social Development, and he was talking to Richard Hewitt.